As you can see, this whistle does a great job of attracting attention. Right? He didn't want to do that. I told him, come on, you got to help me. Suppose this whistle represents everything that pulls your attention away from God's word and into the dark world of sin. Everywhere you go, whistles are blowing to the left, to the right, ahead of you, behind you. And every time a whistle blows, you turn your head and you watch a little while. The longer you watch and pay attention to those whistles, the more you are attracted. You soon find that tied to every whistle is something so attractive, yet so wrong. You also notice that it's not the whistle that attracts you. You hate the whistle. It's annoying. It's loud and obnoxious. Rather, it is that enticing, pleasure-promising sin or dark plot that has your attention, and it's watching you. Well, just like this whistle, sin and evil are excellent attention grabbers. So, those of you who have kids can relate to this. I've got three kids, and while I'm watching a show on TV, they could be in their own rooms doing their own things without a care about what I'm watching until gunshots, screaming, police sirens, blood, murder, mayhem, chaos. At that precise moment, they come dashing in with these great big wide eyes. It's like a magnet. There's something about chaos and people getting shot that my kids just have to see on TV. In the same way, you know it's true, we all have our own dark attraction to things that lurk and cause chaos in the darkness. How do you explain that? This world is full of attention grabbers, and our attention is too often centered on all the wrong things. So today we're gonna take a look at Psalm 1, and I will turn to that scripture a little bit later, and we'll talk about it a bit directly from the scripture a bit later. But first, I want to explain a few things that I think are important to see beforehand. So Psalm 1 is all about the worth of attention. It talks about the worth of evil's attention, the worth of your attention, and the worth of God's attention. So before we look at the scripture, let me ask you a question. What is truly worth your attention? What is truly, truly worth your attention? I'm getting deep, kind of deep down inside here. The dark world of sin is constantly pulling at us. It's enticing us to go with it. So first of all, let's give a little definition for sin. Sin is simply disobedience to God. It's anything that goes against God. In this world, the world is trying to take away the definition of sin. It's trying to say that, oh, there's no such thing as sin. It's there's just something wrong with a chemical connection process or whatever in the brain. But the reality is yeah, of course, you know, we know as the church there is such a thing as sin, and we need to define it and understand what it is and tell people, you know, what that is. So you know the Ten Commandments, right? Ten Commandments give a simple list of what goes with God. Sin is anything that goes against God. So we can think of sin as the opposite of the Ten Commandments. You've heard of Adam and Eve, right? We are just like them. We are attracted to the very things that God says to walk away from. When God says, don't touch, we touch. Can any of you relate to that? When God says, touch, we walk away. What? What's up with that? The dark world of sin, it just mysteriously draws us in. The more we go toward it, the further away from God we walk. Sin has one hand stretched out toward us, and the other hand sitting somewhere in darkness. And the moment we take sin's hand, it yanks us into the darkness, and we find ourselves hand in hand with evil. Sin and evil are companions. Evil loves companionship. And it's burning for you to join in on all the fun. It carries a promise of pleasure, satisfaction, friendship, and laughter. It knows you desire it. When I was a teenager in high school, I hung around friends who loved to party and get drunk on the weekends. Their lifestyle seemed like a lot of fun and exciting, and we laughed and we laughed and we laughed. I was easily taken into the parties and the alcohol, believing that I was living the life. But instead of having this, you know, lasting joy, every part of me was burning away inside, leaving gaping holes that grew larger with every hungover morning after. I was left empty inside. Once evil has your full attention, it burns to ashes and scatters with the wind, taking you along with it. The lifestyle of sin seems so full of promise at first, but instead, inside the soul, there's this burnt out void full of swirling ashes. So what is truly, truly worth your attention in this world? Not only does sin and evil love to attract attention, but human beings love to attract attention too, right? People love to be the center of attention. Even if we don't want to be the center of attention, we still try to attract attention because it's this inborn survival instinct present in every one of us. So every one of us was born with this amazingly effective attention grabber called the cry. And we quickly learned that crying gets us whatever we want, right? Most of you have had kids, right? A lot of us. According to a recent study, new moms have a universal response in their behaviors and brains when they hear their babies cry. In the study, mothers from different countries around the world showed a pattern of picking up, holding, and talking to their babies within minutes of when their babies started crying. So this is international. It's an instinct inborn in every single one of us mothers. Every baby is born with an instinct to attract their mother's attention by crying. And mothers instinctively give their caring attention to their babies when they cry, right? So this pull of being the center of someone's attention is built into us. But when this is left unattended, bad things happen. And also it becomes the starting point of self-gratification. As we grow, we try to attract attention in different ways. So kids will eventually stop crying. They move on to other things for attention. They argue, they yell, they fight, they hurt themselves, they run away. Some kids draw attention by striving to be really good or the best at sports, art, science, winning the spelling bee. Getting good grades can be a way of drawing attention. Or getting in with a cool crowd at school. Having the cutest date, wearing a certain brand of clothes, talking and walking a certain way. As adults, you know, it just gets a little more sophisticated and more expensive. So you get a big truck. When all these things drive us, it feeds our self-gratification. I'm not saying that striving for, you know, or having all these things is wrong. It's not a sin, obviously. But the attention that we strive for, that we receive, or that we give to these things, it can feed that desire for self-gratification. And that's where we have to watch out, because the self-gratification connects to sin. Our desire to attract attention is inherited. We were created to be this way. We were. So what is truly worth your attention? In this world, we can see that that sin and evil are snatching up attention. It's obvious. People everywhere are snatching up attention. What about this? God's full attention can be snatched right from heaven and straight to you. You thought about that before? God created us to be attention grabbers, not just for our survival, but so that he can meet us personally in our deepest felt need. God's not up there on his throne staring at golden streets and other nice things that he created in heaven. That's not what he's doing. What's God doing? He's looking at us. He's watching us. He has his eyes on us. Ultimately, deep inside, we are all searching to be understood, right? And to be recognized. We're all grabbing for someone who understands us, who loves us for who we are, who guards our feelings, who protects our hearts, who laughs or cries with us, who never disappears when we need them the most. We're all searching. It doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're a baby, a toddler, a child, a teenager, young adult, middle age, a senior. We're still looking for that, for we're still hoping that someone cares about us, that, you know, that is there with us. The problem is we focused our attention on people, places, and things that cannot actually satisfy the deep need inside of us. But there is one, and you know who I'm talking about, whose attention means more than anything the world can offer. We were created with this inborn nature to desire God's attention, to be ultimately gratified by his friendship, by our relationship with him. Jesus has one hand stretched out toward us and the other hand holding eternal life. Are you willing to take his hand and to continue taking his hand every day of your life, every minute? Darkness has one hand stretched out to you and the other hand, or evil has one stretched out to you and the other hand sitting in darkness. Jesus has one hand stretched out to you and the other hand holding eternal life, the light of eternal life. Amen? If Jesus becomes the driving force behind everything that you do, he cannot help but give you his undivided attention. His eyes are on you. He's ready to take you by the hand, to walk with you away from this dark, hurtful, shameful world, and to bring you, to give you that light, the light of eternal life that is waiting for you in his other hands. So what's truly worth your attention? Okay, so let's turn to Psalm 1 and take a look at this, break this down from the Bible. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." This blessed person has learned to ignore the whistle-grabbing attention of the people who would connect them to sin and evil and darkness. This blessed person refuses to be fooled by those self-gratifying promises of sin that try to lure them in. Verse 2 says, you should actually read these two verses together. "But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." So rather than giving attention to the world, this person centers their attention on Jesus, who is the Word of God. In these two short verses, we have specific steps that we can take to help us make Jesus the driving force behind everything that we do. First, instead of blindly walking into the trap of sin, which is what we do, we blindly walk into the trap of sin, we walk in step with Jesus by studying his word. We stand in the way that Jesus took by observing how Jesus lived. And we hang out with people who follow Jesus. This week, can we commit to calling somebody that you don't really know that well in this church and going out for coffee with them, having a snack, having lunch, having just a little get together, hanging out with each other? Can we commit to that this week? Can we commit to finding a new Christian friend this week? So that's what this verse is saying to us. It's not saying, you know, it's not necessarily saying that, you know, we all know we need to have friends who are sinners, right? We need to have friends who are in the world who don't know the Lord. And I'm not, you know, saying anything against that. That's obvious. But those friends that we have, how many times have they lured us into things that we know we shouldn't be doing? And that's where the fine line is. We go out, we find friends who don't know the Lord. Why? So that they can see what you have. They can see Jesus in you. They can rely on you as a pillar of strength when they are going through something really, really, really difficult. Sam was just sharing with me last week. He received some messages. I hope I can share this. He received some messages from a friend of his who was a non-Christian in Montana who was dealing with some very, very, very dark and just horrible things that were happening in her life. And she was thinking of committing suicide. And so Sam's coming to me and he's like, What do I say? What do I say? What do I write? And I'm just like, I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't freak out. But I told, you know, we were talking about this very thing in youth group the last couple of months, and several in our youth have friends who have said that they were gonna end their life. And so for us as Christians, people who believe in Jesus, we have the hope. We have the ultimate hope, which is Jesus. We need to introduce people to this hope that we have, so that they can see how much more is out there waiting for them. Right? That there's a light. This is sin has you by the hand, and the other hand's in darkness. But here's Jesus. He's holding his hand out to you. And the other hand's not darkness, it's light. It's eternal life. Amen? If we do all these things, verse 3 tells us what will happen. So verse 3 says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water. Doesn't that sound good? Which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. I love this part. Whatever they do prospers. Okay, I'm not into the prosper gospel, but I believe this verse, and I believe the other verses that say very similar things, like the one that I shared earlier this morning before we took the offering. God wants to bless us. Don't get me wrong, okay? But believe me, God wants to bless us. This is the benefit for that person. They become a life giver and not a life taker. They become like a solid tree that has spread its roots deep into the waters of God's word. Whatever they put their hands to succeeds. This is true. In other words, when you are planted in God's word and when your life is driven by your friendship with Jesus, you will not become a failure. It doesn't mean that you won't fail. Failing can be really good sometimes. But we will not become a failure. Failing and being a failure are two different things, right? I think all of us have experienced both ends, both failing and being a failure. At least I have. I know what that's like. But look what verse 3 says. When we make Jesus the center of our attention, when we focus our lives on him, whatever we do, we'll succeed. We won't become a failure, right? We come to know what our ultimate end is. And the ultimate end for those of us who believe in Jesus is not failure. And that's our hope, right? Amen? In contrast, verses 4 to 5 say, this tells us what will happen if we give our attention to the world of sin, evil, and wicked people who lead others into darkness, saying, "Not so the wicked!" Exclamation point. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. If you've ever seen chaff, chaff is just useless. It's like ash. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. This passage warns us that the wicked are life takers. Whatever they do, it turns to ashes. It blows away with the wind. The wicked will fall where the righteous stand. So in conclusion, let's take a look at verse 6. And then in a few minutes, we'll sing a hymn and then take communion together. So verse 6 shows us where God's attention rests. And it's not on heaven. It's not upon heaven. It's not on his throne. Like I said, he's not staring at his golden streets, admiring them. Verse 6 says, "For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous." And again, "But the way of the wicked, it leads to destruction." The Lord gives his attention to those who notice him reaching out to them. He watches over them. He protects them. He feeds them. He nurtures. He restores. He refreshes. He sustains their life. He gives them eternal life and causes them to stand up when everything around is falling apart. But the ones who ignore God's call, who give their attention to the world's dark and evil ways, they're left unprotected. They're soon led to their destruction. We don't want that. We want people to stand when everything else has fallen apart, right? So when God's word, when Jesus drives your decisions, you will grab his attention. Whenever sin is reaching its hand out to you and you refuse to take its hand, you're blowing a whistle that God hears. You've caught the eye of the Lord. You've caught the eye of the Lord. He can't help but look at you and watch you. Thank God for Jesus and his grace. Amen. When you've caught the eye of the Lord, which every one of us who believe in Jesus have already, you've made a connection with him. Take advantage of that connection and see where it takes you. So before I close, let me just give a quick recap of the specific steps for us to take in response to this message. And this, it sounds easy and elementary, but that's because it is. First, we walk in step with Jesus by studying his word. Second, we observe how Jesus lived. This is all from this Psalm 1. We observe how Jesus lived and we follow his example. And finally, we hang out with people who follow Jesus. Make a new Christian friend this week. Call somebody that you don't know in this church, or maybe a friend of yours' church. Call somebody that you don't know and say, "Hey, let's get together this week. Let's hang out. Let's share each other's life with each other. You have any burdens you want to talk about? Let's talk about it. Any joys? Let's hear it. Any prayer requests? Let's hear it. Here are some of mine." Pray with each other. Lift each other up. That's part of being the church is. So now that God has your attention, I hope, let me finish with this. Someone tells us that if you take these steps, you will become an attention grabber for God. And you'll become a life giver. Everything you do will prosper. You will, and that doesn't mean material things necessarily. I hope you understand what I'm saying there. And you will have God's full loving attention forever. So let everything you do be driven by God's word and your friendship with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is truly worth our attention, isn't it? Amen. So let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you so much for your word. Thank you for creating that inborn desire to draw attention, Lord. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't even care to cry out to you. But you gave that to us, Lord. And we want to cry out to you and ask that you will come and touch us, Lord Jesus. We choose to take your hand this morning, Lord. As we know that in the other hand is eternal life and the great things that you have waiting for us, both in this life and after we take our last breath. So, Lord, we reach out to you. We trust you, Lord. We want that connection with you. And we put our faith in you, Lord Jesus. In your precious name. Amen.